Okay, you're listening to the Crass Files podcast with Adam and Garth. It's Tuesday, the 17th of November, 2015. This podcast is available from iTunes. Some also over at podomatic.com, but you can go to our website, crassfiles.com. Everything's up there. Lots of podcasts and news links going up every day with all that's happening, so check it out. We're also over at Facebook. That's the Crass Files. Thanks for listening. Okay. We're all plugged in. Can't find Garth, but I'm definitely in fantastic company. Tom, great to have you back.
Ooh, well, it's good to be back, Adam. Thanks so much for having me once again. It's
haven't spoken to you for a while.
Yeah. It's a lot of water under the bridge since then. but glad to hear that you're still there and kicking. Beautiful website you've got too, by the way.
Same with you.
Yeah, thanks. But no, it's the world. The world keeps spinning. The BS keeps happening, and we keep being lied to. And there's another. There's always a crisis. I mean, every time between times we speak, it's probably 2 months. I mean, we passed through 15, 20 crises or crisis. I don't know what the plural is, but since we've been last talking, Putin's decided, you know, to hell with this noise. I'm going to go in and do what I got to do and take out ISIS. And the U.S. is looking pretty damn stupid. And they're looking like them and Israel are looking like a couple of big time thug liars. So they're going after ISIS. Right. Yeah. Putin comes in and automatically gets them on the run. It throws a veil of truth over what's really going on right now. And the United States, far from attacking ISIS, is sustaining ISIS and feeding ISIS. And Israel was creating ISIS. And now Putin stepped in at a perfect time. I mean, I know I may be getting off the trail really quickly here, but Putin's timing is incredible. I mean, let's face it. He came in at the exact time when what is the United States and Israel going to say? I mean, they're standing there basically naked in front of the world. Putin came in. If you want to fight terrorism, I'm your huckleberry. He came in, started fighting terrorism. What are they going to do? What are they going to say? Attack Putin for fighting terrorism? So it was perfect timing, and his whole approach was damn near perfect. You know, he's the last white man standing, I think, in the world. And I know there are some people who think Putin's just one of the crowd. Maybe that's true, but it's sort of like this guy that's running for president here in America right now, Donald Trump. No, it may not be perfect. He may not be doing or saying everything that I want, but he's saying a couple of things I care about, and that's two things more than the rest of the people are talking about. That's two things more that other people are ignoring. I'm talking about the candidates for presidency and the other so-called world leaders. Putin's doing a few things that I like, and so that, like I said, that's two things more than the rest of these clowns are doing. And so I've got to stay with Putin, and I've got to say that anybody that can slaughter these head-chopping monsters like ISIS, anybody that can do that, I'm for them, period. Even if the devil himself came up from hell and went after him and started cutting him up, I'm all for that too. They've done enough hideous things that they deserve exactly what they're getting from Putin right now, and that's 6 feet of earth under the ground. So anyway, that's just a thought right off the top. But since we've talked, it's been things like that that have been
– Well, I've noticed – well, the main thing I've noticed, I've been watching the France false flag
That's what I believe it is. And it's amazing the fear. I mean, showing yesterday on the TV, there were hundreds of people mourning there in Paris, and a firecracker went off and there was a stampede of people stampeding over the top of each other to get out of there, and it was a firecracker. I mean, the whole world is now on edge, and this is what these people who run this planet do. They're thriving on this, for sure, that fear, you know, and mind control, that psychological warfare, and terror, 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 and, you know, the media spin is just unbelievable. I've been watching it every day. It's just compounding and compounding this media spin, you know, and so I'm sort of unable to get through it all to find out what really went on there. But it, you know, it stinks of, you know, it stinks of Mossad. It stinks of Israel. That's what these people do. You know, there was the whole passport thing. I've got a lot of stuff up on our website on it. They said that the Syrian passports were found after the Paris attacks on the suicide bombers. So they blew themselves up and their passports were left untouched, just like 9/11. You know, the terrorists flew the planes and the towers and they found the passports. And then we found out that the passports were fakes made in Turkey. You know, that these terrorists are... Syrian terrorists, when we know that ISIS are backed by Western countries like the US and the Saudis and Israel as well. So there's a lot of kind of weird stuff going on, but I have found quite a bit of stuff sort of linking this to sort of US CIA as usual, our mates there. But there is a report I put on our website that CIA Director Brennan met with French security chief before Paris attacks. That was a report that came out as well. So the CIA's in meeting with French security officials before these attacks happened as well. A lot of suspicious stuff going on there.
Let me ask you this, and I, you know where I'm coming from, so I think you can accept the way I'll phrase this. I do believe in this world not everything is a conspiracy. I do believe that SHIT happens occasionally, but I also believe in false flags, and I believe that people deliberately set these things up so that the world will flow the way they want it to. Please tell me, I'm serious, Adam, what on earth could the Mossad or the CIA gain by staging a false flag like this? It looks like it would be the opposite effect. In other words, Europe is already upset about this illegal criminal invasion of these darks from the Middle East and Africa. Now it would look like this would favor them. In other words, let's get rid of these son of a bitches because, look, here's millions more and they're causing this. So why would the U.S. and its boss, Israel, stage this thing? I'm serious.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
As you said, it makes no sense to me.
Yeah, with Putin over there because, well, I mean, there's huge amount of evidence pointing to the fact that ISIS, as they call them, are Western-backed.
Yes.
Backed particularly by Israel, and there seems to be a conquering by Israel of the entire Middle East. But I know that it seems to be something going on with Syria, you know, that the US weren't dealing with, and then, as you said, Putin's come in and dealt with it. So that's a real strange confliction going on there, because now they're saying that France are bombing parts of Syria of these ISIS stronghold, but that's from the mainstream media, so we don't really know who France are bombing.
I think it's the opposite.
Yeah, they've blamed, you know what I mean? They've blamed the Syrian people. When how many real Syrian refugees are you getting into Europe? I mean, not that many at all. It's just a smash and grab from all these people rushing into Europe. And we heard that they're getting these terror cells in. They've already threatened that when I was following the invasion going on in Europe of all the borders open and they were flooding into Germany and all this. These ISIS people were saying, we've now put in terror cells all throughout Europe. So the French thing could be just the start of it. But they already threatened to do that. And there was shipments in, I think it was Greece, that they got filled with weapons that were being given to these people. That's what I heard. So what I have read is that you're getting thousands of these military men who are of fighting age flooding into Europe, who are loyal to this ISIS. And at the end of the day, I think that this situation in France is just the beginning here. I hate saying it, but I just feel like we're looking at the fall of Europe here with what's going on in Germany and everything, and I think this is absolutely frightening. I've just got new reports where they're still threatening that they're going to do this in America and everywhere. They're saying, you know, they're already saying we're going to destroy all whole sections of Europe. I worry about Sweden. But at the end of the day, as you said, with Putin in there as well, and now France in there, who are they bombing? What's really going on there? Because I know that with Syria, they seem to not be able to get him out, and it was a bit of a sticking point for them. I don't know if Iran's rolled over on their bellies, on their backs, but it seems like with Syria, something was going on, and they couldn't get this guy out. And so I don't know if Putin has sent them in there, and they're really nailing the ISIS strongholds. But this is very weird now because you got, as I said, France going in there. And so we're getting the mainstream media stuff that France are bombing them, but I don't really know. I can't get any good material on it.
Holland, the premier, French premier, I noticed he's all outraged now, of course, this terror attack. And it's like any American president would do. They want to search for enemies really quickly. Rather than trying to stop such acts, they want to go strike somebody, just like George Bush after 9/11. But Holland, he wants an invasion of France, French forces to invade Syria. And I say, look, screw Holland. He let him go fight them by himself. This puffed up suit let in countless hordes of non-whites. Now he expresses outrage and he wants young Frenchmen to go and die because of his actions. He let these animals into France. He is the problem, not these animals. I mean, what I'm getting at is I see this benefiting certain demagogues like Holland or George W. Bush, take your pick. But, you know, right now, until let me say this, America and the other nations, especially UK, have lost such credibility among the world that now most people get their news via Russia somehow. Whether it's Putin making a speech in front of the UN. And we generally go to the bank with what they're saying because of all the liars in the world, they have lied least, it seems that way. So what the US says, I care not. What France says and UK says, I care not. I usually think just the opposite of whatever they say. But until there's more information, mm-hmm. I tend to take a simple approach that this is indeed some blowback. This is indeed a Muslim attack for what has been going on in the Middle East, especially Syria right now. And this is payback. This is blowback, payback, call it what you will, but this is their way of getting back. Now, I personally do not believe that intelligence among the various nations is so great and so incredible that every little item, every little detail can be followed. Not with satellites, not with eavesdropping on the social media, not with all of that. No, secrecy. If it wants something done, it can get it done. Perhaps this is a case right here. So, like I said, I tend to take the simple approach until I hear more. Right now, I have to simply believe that this was blowback, and there'll probably be more blowback because I simply cannot. What a rogue outlaw among nations Israel and its Mossad is. I know that. I know they're capable of any criminality. I know they're capable of 9/11 type of attacks. But I fail to see how Israel could benefit by this at all, except to create or engender more hatred of Muslims.
You think they're creating a greater Israel in the Middle East, like conquering all these countries? Because I guess
there's no doubt about that. No doubt about it. They've had their eyes upon the resources of the Middle East for at least 60 years now, and that's what this is. Yes, it's an attempt.
I mean, they got rid of Gaddafi, didn't they? And there's so many nations there have fallen. There's not many left. I mean, Syria seems to be where the battle's going on. I don't know what Russia's interest is in Syria, whether it's resources as well. Putin's sort of wants something there, so it's a complicated thing. But you know, it's also a war on the white race, of course.
Yes,
it's a absolute. Yes. This is a. I wouldn't call it disintegration. I don't know what the word is, but it's a pushing and breeding out of European white people, 100%. So you got that whole side of it where it started. You know,
and you
all
know
these people are allowed to flood in there like that. That's incredible. I mean, I honestly, I told you when that started, I'd never seen anything like this. It looked like some zombie movie, Tom. Just the gates of Europe opening and just millions of these people flooding in unchecked like that. Especially Germany. I've never seen anything like that. It's horrifying. And now to see these attacks, oh my goodness.
I still personally believe this is an act of desperation. I believe that the internet has caused such a
problems. I agree.
Such a problem with the Jewish media that they're no longer what they used to be. They no longer control our minds. We're developing new ways of talking and passing on information. And I think this is simply a quick end run. Basically, this is what they wanted to do much slower, much more subtly than what's happening right now. I think this is simply the desperate acts of a desperate people that see everything they've worked for starting to crumble little by little. I mean, let's face it, they jailed an 87-year-old woman in Germany recently, just the other day, for questioning the so-called Holocaust. Now, what kind of a law, what kind of a truth is that needs a prison term for protection? Truth that I know needs a prison term for protection. The truth stands alone. It stands by itself. It doesn't need protection. The truth is an oak. Only a lie needs a 5-year prison term. This old lady, she ends up in jail. Things like that, that's signs of desperation. That's not, you know, a more subtle, someone with more time on their hands, they would have quietly dropped charges against some 87-year-old great-grandmother. This flooding of Europe, you know, I'm telling you, tomorrow night, within 2 weeks, if Europe wanted to take care of business, they would take care of business. The worst people, Europe, all of Europe, as far as I know, perhaps except for Russia and Hungary, the worst people are in charge of their lives, their government. Yeah. The worst enemy they could possibly have there. It's just like America. It's just like Australia. I'm assuming Australia. Oh, but I know damn good and well America. The worst people. However, you know, the wall came down with lightning speed when the Berlin Wall, the Iron Curtain came down. And you better believe this same wall right now, this invisible terror wall that's been built around every capital in Europe, where the worst enemies of the European people are sitting and governing and passing laws and saying who can come in and who cannot argue about it. Merkel, for instance, she stands out among everyone as the greatest race traitor in Europe right now.
Disgusting display. She
is willingly sitting while her nation is destroyed. Now, I'm saying within 2 weeks, if Europe wanted to, I don't know what the flashpoint would be, what the but funnier things have happened than this in history, and I'm bringing up the Berlin Wall and the Iron Curtain as an example, modern example of how quickly things can change. And I'm telling you what, I think we're getting very close to critical mass. When people in Germany, the most enslaved people in Europe, when they start rising up and forming mobs in the streets to complain, then you know something is really going on right now. People are reaching that point where they just don't give a damn anymore. They're coming to the point where they've got nothing to lose. They say, screw with this jobs. I'm not going to work anymore for this system and be an obedient producer and consumer. Screw that. There's more to life than this. There's me. There's my heart, my soul, my nation, my people. And they're coming to this. I'm going to tell you what, when enough people come to that and reach that critical mass, the powers that be are in real big trouble. And I think we're headed that way right now. I can sense it. I can feel it. These crises. But anyway, that's another story, and I haven't been in Europe for about a year now, 6 months, 8 months, whatever. So I'm not really – I don't really have my ear to the ground there. I only know what I read, and almost all of what I read is from alternative media, of course, because that's the only honest media I find anymore. You can't find it in America, at least, on the mainstream news, the Jewish media. And but anyway, yeah, it does. It's still, nevertheless, even though I know how quickly this can happen, and I really in my heart feel it will happen, still it's hard for me to sit still and watch this. I am by nature an activist. I prefer to be with somebody who's risking their skin somewhere, not sitting at a computer typing out books or articles or blogs or whatever it is. So when an old geezer like me starts getting active and animated about such things, then you can bet your tookie that everybody else is too.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think the good news is what you're telling me about Australia, that free medical care for guys like you, guys and gals like you. And I didn't know we had any nations like that anymore. I thought the social Democrats had lost all their credibility. And but anyway.
Still some good things here. But, you know, if you look at George Soros, you know, there was a lot of articles came out about him. He's been inciting all these types of things. Now, George Soros is a Zionist Jew.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was talking about, are these people want a revolution in Europe? So a few weeks ago, Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban accused the billionaire financier of funding activists to try and encourage the continued flow of refugees heading into Europe. So this man's behind this again. And they're saying, does he want, you know, this migrant crisis to get so bad, with all these attacks to get so bad, and the European people to rise up and start fighting back, as you said? Could that be the death knell of Europe? Is that what these people want while they go under their bunkers? We don't really know. But it's the same. It's the same people behind it all. If you look at your book, Tom, you know, Hellstorm, it's the same people then and it's the same people now. It's just different methods, different plans, you know, it's more technological now. But it's the same thing, same bunch if you have a look at them all. And you look at Merkel and all these people, they seem to be in the hands of these people. And the French, you know, the French president just this morning looks like he wants to turn Paris and France into a police state. You know, that's what he's talking about. So the people are going to lose more and more rights, you know. But what choice do they have when they're running from firecrackers? The people are going to want that type of thing to happen. And now, just this morning, if I pull it up here, just in Australia, where I'm from, Tom, in New South Wales, they're talking about New South Wales police now given new shoot-to-kill orders. So we have Australian police given new orders now because of these terrorist attacks to shoot to kill, even if you're suspected of being a terrorist. And then, you know, at the same time, we have a new Islamic state, a new Islamic kind of party that want to start up in Australia. Can you believe that? I mean, it's a Australian Muslim party, and they aim to contest federal and state elections. So they want a Muslim party in Australia, okay. But then at the same time, they're taking away all our rights, you know, because they think that every Muslim on the street's going to blow up something. So it's creating a state of chaos, absolutely, for sure, you know. And one thing I've noticed out of all this France attack, all through the mainstream media and the papers, everywhere I've looked, not one mention of Israel. Not one mention. You know, they get off scot-free again. And I feel so sorry for those people. I mean, it looked like a bloodbath over there. I really do feel sorry for them. But everyone's having flowers and vigils, and they're singing, and they're joining hands with France. But that's not exposing who did this. It's not getting anything done. And while France and the rest of Europe gets, you know, obliterated, and the Western white people get flushed out, as well as here, we're going to lose more rights, become more of a police state, and the real perpetrators never get exposed, Tom. That's the thing. They're blowing the hell out of Syria, France. I don't know how that fixes things. But as I said, who are they blowing up? And ISIS seemed to be able to come out, you know, in the mainstream media and threaten everybody, but the most mighty military in the world, the United States and England and France, they can't get them, but they're allowed to make open threats.
What you're describing right now, Adam, is something we've got to resolve in the white nationalist movement. We still, despite all the alternative media, still get the bulk of our information from the mainstream media, which is the Jewish media. And when you own the football, you can make up the rules of the game as you go along. You don't have to criticize any Jew anywhere in the world because you own the media. And they don't, generally. It's only on rare occasions that they're forced to. But we have got to set up our own white nationalist news system.
To counteract.
I don't mean just podcasts, and I don't just mean websites. I mean an actual news source that you can go to 24/7, something similar to Al Jazeera or some of these other rather independent news services, because And we have to be absolutely credible. We have to be absolutely honest. We have to lay off the propaganda. And we cannot talk about conspiracies unless we know they're conspiracies, unless we can actually prove beyond a shadow of a doubt. We have to gain the credibility. And because as long as we're still listening to the Jewish media, we're always going to be enslaved. And that's the problem right now. You and I both, I think we both read about as much as anybody listening right now. And hell, we don't even really have a clue. I don't even know what's going
so
on.
So hard. As yeah, I said, it's all the media is having a ball with this. They're like piranhas. And they're just pumping and pumping more out. And it's so hard to get anything. I mean, you're in the U.S., you're in Florida, I'm in Sydney. It's so hard to really work out what's really, really going on. It's on a deeper level here because of this, as you said, the Jewish media spin. It's really scary, Tom. I mean, just from the Sydney Morning Herald today, new Islamic State video threatens a Paris-style attack on Washington. You know, I mean, here's all the papers releasing this stuff after this just happens. They're telling the, and they got pictures of them. They're going to attack. Well, how do they know they're going to attack? You know,
yeah, they never name their sources.
The media seem to know when there's going to be an attack, you know, and this is the thing, you know, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, the fact is, I think most of the things that occur in the world are unknown, and some of them will remain unknown. So you cannot come out. This news service I'm talking about, I'm telling you straight, we have the wherewithal. We have the people that under the table are willing to fund something like this, float this idea, and suddenly have a news service that's, let's put it this way, will not be nearly as craven and subservient to whatever Israel wants in this world. It'll be very neutral, very unbiased. And believe me, if you can do that, then the truth will get out. And this constant warfare, this constant fear that's permeating the entire world,
we
can start to chop away at that and get back to, you know, when we start naming names and when we start, for instance, United States, let's face it, the U.S. Congress is bought and paid for by Israel. And it's the odd thing, the horrible thing about all that is that it's the American taxpayers allowing.
Yep.
That's what's so damn sad about it. I mean, we're sending billions of dollars over there so they can send it back to Congress and buy our Congress.
Yeah,
and every damn man jack of them, just about, I don't know of one who isn't subservient to Israel. Even Rand Paul, the son of Ron Paul, the first thing you see, he's got a yarmulke over and the Wailing Wall, praying at the Wailing Wall, and he wants my vote. But anyway, I'm getting off the subject. Hey, you know, you did mention about my book. Let me say something real quick about my book. Right now, the German translation of Hellstorm, it has finally come out about a week ago. And when I wrote the book, you know, 20 years ago, it finally got published 4 years ago, but I wrote it about 20 years ago. I always had the German people in mind when I thought, who do I want most to read this? And of course, it was the German people because it happened to them. And to this very day, they're living like outcasts in the world because of their attempt to be free in this world. They wanted to be free. They fought to be free. They lost. And now they're back into slavery, a slavery much worse than after World War I.
Terrible now. Yep.
So I've always wanted the people, the children, the grandchildren, and the great-grandchildren of those victims of World War II to read this and understand why their mother or their father or their granddad or Uncle Oscar was the way they were after the war. I wanted them to know this, the truth. And then perhaps they'd start thinking about the war differently and about their parents and about German history. And so finally, now, with the help of a good man, a translator, Gerhard Ausmeier. I don't know where I'm going with that first name, but Gerhard Ausmeier, who translated the book into German. It's now out. You can find it on Amazon.de. That's Amazon.de, which of course stands for Deutschland, or Deutsch, German. And of course, the English version is out too. But if there's any German, bilingual Germans listening right now, you can find that book on Amazon and read in your own language. And I'm sure the translation's a very good one. So I just wanted to get that in for all the German listeners out there. And I imagine you have quite a few, actually.
I do, actually. Yeah, but that's great. So that's the book Hellstorm. Now available in German.
Yeah, it's called Hürdensturm, Die Vernichtung Deutschlands, 1944, and whatever. I speak so little of German, I better not even try it anymore.
It's so hard.
Yeah.
All I know is their beer. I'm pretty good at that.
Yes.
And I know you're an Irishman. German beer. Yeah.
You're an Aussie-Irishman, so you know a lot about good beer, Foster's and all that good stuff in Ireland. By the way, while we're on the subject of Ireland, I guess I'm on the subject of Ireland right now. Speaking of firecrackers, I was in the north once up at Ulster. I was there for a few days. And then I came back down to the Republic, down to Dublin. And it just so happened one autumn evening I was walking along in Dublin. I just got back from Ulster, from the north. And I was walking down the sidewalk, busy sidewalk, one evening in Dublin. And boom! Somebody threw a firecracker right at my feet. I didn't see it in the back. It was by my back. And I just come from Ulster, you know, and it was still dicey up there with the British guards and soldiers everywhere. And I thought, my God, here I've been shot in Dublin. I just got back from Ulster. But it was a firecracker. It was Halloween. Apparently you people over there shoot firecrackers off on Halloween. Am I wrong?
Here?
I'm right. No, in Ireland.
Oh, yeah, I guess they do. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so it scared the hell out of me because I thought I'd been shot, and here I was in safety. And well, that's my story. It's not very funny or interesting.
Someone's trying to shoot you, Tom.
I'll get off of it. But the book is it's. I just got to say a few things about, it, and then we can talk about current events again. It's. If you want to understand why we're going through this crap right now in Europe, in America, in Canada, in Australia, in the world, white nations, why we're going through this, I think you have to start with World War II. I don't think you can understand what's going on. When you understand who lost and who won World War II, then this starts making more and more sense. I'm not going to say it all makes sense because, as we just mentioned, Adam and I, we don't understand. Totally understand this Paris thing right now and other stuff in the world. But it's a great starting point, World War II, when you understand who won, who lost, and why the defeat of Germany was so utter and so vicious and vile and depraved and evil. World War II was not the good war that propaganda would have you believe. It was the worst war in world history. It was a war of evil. It was evil conquering good, quite honestly. Good that tried to rise from the ashes and make something of itself, be its own nation, to cast off all these parasites that had been sucking Germany dry after World War I. And they found the man, Adolf Hitler, and in 1933 he was named Man of the Year by Time magazine in America because of what he was doing with Germany, transforming it from... You know, from one of the most abject and poor nations to one of the world superpowers again. Adolf Hitler did that in such a shockingly quick amount of time that they named him Man of the Year, and rightly so. And what, 6 years later, the world is going to war against him because Hitler really meant what he said. When he said he wanted to make Germany free and strong and take its rightful place as leader of the world. He didn't say he was going to take over the world, but he knew that the German spirit it should at least take its place among Europe and the world. And World War II, the disaster for all of Europe that it was, the rest is history, as they say. And what we're seeing right now, this tsunami of dark races flooding Europe, America, Canada, Australia. This is part and parcel of it. We were totally morally disarmed because of World War II and the Jewish supremacists who won that war. Suddenly we could no longer be masters of our own home. Suddenly we could not say, hey, look, we want to remain white. We don't want to accept the world's, the uncountable, unlimited, dark people of the world. No, we can't say that anymore. We try that, and we're imprisoned. We're called bigots, racists, and Semites. But that's changing. The good news is that's changing. And I'd like to think my book had some small hand in changing it. And if enough people can read it, I think it stands a good chance of a lot of folks reading this and having a real hand at changing. Because once the words start bouncing off of you, once you understand why those words are used against you, then they stop having their meaning. They stop having their there's very little pain involved. I'm a pretty good example. I really don't give a damn what people call me. I understand who's calling me those names, and so I consider the source. In fact, if I'm not called names, I'm not doing my job very well. I prefer to be called names, quite honestly. And I know who's calling me those names. It really doesn't make me mad at all. I actually like it. It's laughable. And anyway, I think I've beat that horse.
You think it's, Tom, like this, well, if I look at what Merkel's done in Germany, I mean, an absolute, to say she's a traitor is a severe understatement. And now, with the trouble Germany's in, she's actually calling on the German people to be tolerant to the Muslims. But do you think this is, I don't know, it's sort of like the Jewish greatest revenge, the ultimate revenge to do this, because...
Sure.
It's unlike anything we've seen. I mean, it's different to Hellstorm in the way that they just bomb the hell out of them. The rape and the torture and everything and that you describe in your book was done by white people with that Jewish mindset behind it. But you look at this changing of the guard, it's really astonishing, this flooding in and taking over of Europe, of the, as you said, these dark people, the Middle Eastern people. They just keep coming, and I've seen YouTube videos of there was like a couple of German girls on the street in one of their cities, and they're just filming, and there's just thousands of them there with burkas and blacks and everything just flooding into the streets there, unchecked, you know, while their own government tells the German people they're actually throwing them out of their houses. We've heard that as well, as they are in Sweden, to make them give their houses up to house these people. These people, they went to Holland, they were complaining in some of these European countries, like Finland, you know, because it was boring and it was too cold. They were saying in Holland that the internet wasn't any good, and they were clearly making their way to better countries like Germany and Sweden, because that's where they get the benefits. And the German people and that have just been pushed aside. But I just see this as really the last straw. I think, if the German people... European people need to stand up, I think, as you said, Tom. I think there's no other way to fight back here, because if they lose this, I think that's it. I can't see a way out if they get a stronghold in there and start breeding. I think it's the end of the white European people, you know, in that part of the world, which is so sad. I mean, it's not like that here.
I mean, it's no accident that the epicenter of this dark, evil invasion is Germany. Since the 1930s, when the Jewish hegemonists throughout the world, especially America and the UK, they made up their mind Germany had to be destroyed. In fact, there's even books written about that very subject. Germany must perish.
This is another way of doing it, isn't it?
Yes.
This is breeding them out forever.
The Cold War short-circuited or basically postponed this attempt to destroy Germany utterly. Now, the Allies did their dead level best during the war to kill as many as they possibly could, and immediately after the war. But after the war, the Soviet Union became such a threat, at least to the West, to many in the West, that they needed this stopgap, this bulwark against the Soviet expansion, Soviet invasion, and Germany filled the bill. But now that that's not needed any longer, now this, we're seeing a real attempt to actually destroy Germany down to the last man, woman, and child. And I don't think it's any more complicated than that. This is another attempt at genocide, pure and simple genocide. Now, the fact that it's Germany, it doesn't let the rest of the Europeans off. There's always been a deep, deep-seated hatred by Jews against all whites. We've always stood in their way. We've always been the roadblock to their world, to their attempt of world hegemony, world supremacy. And they've known that. We know that. Many of us. Now, not all of us. Of course, you've got, about 80%, 87% of all whites are too stupid to even figure this out. They too busy drinking, watching their sports, shopping, screwing. I don't know what else they're doing, but they're certainly not doing political things. It's the 12, 13% of us who are aware that they really want to get rid of, like those at Captain Forest. The Soviets, as they slaughtered the cream of the Polish intelligentsia in the forest, then blamed it on the Germans. They want to kill as many of us as they possibly can. And hey, I know how that may sound to somebody who's just turning on this program and listen to that, but I'm never, ever anymore going to run from the truth. When I see something and I understand it, and I understand this perfectly clearly, this is the final attempt. And we talked about how desperate they probably are right now with the advent of the internet and with the rise of nationalism and this exchange of ideas. White folks suddenly realizing what's going on and starting to do things about it. I think there is a nervous attempt to push this thing through right now. I'll tell you what, I still believe that there's a lot of good men and women in Europe, and I would not write them off so quickly, Adam.
Do you think this is the greatest danger that Europe's ever faced? The situation that they're in now? Because these people, they're in there, aren't they? They're in there. They got in. We don't know where they are or who they are or what weapons they have, who they work for, what the hell's going on, you know?
Don't forget, they also got into Spain.
They got everywhere. They just got everywhere. I mean, to see those videos of them just pouring in, you know? I understand there's a lot of women and children who are trying to get out of war zones and stuff, but the majority were not Syrian at all.
No.
Come on.
No, and what I meant by Spain was when the Moors invaded Spain, and I got all the way up into central Spain, eventually, and into France. They were driven out, and driven out, I mean driven out. This can happen again. I'm not saying it will, but I'm saying I talk to too many people who are determined. I mean determined to do something about this.
You can't let Europe fall like this, Tom. It's so sad. It's terrible.
And
it's horrifying to let Europe, at where it is now, doing so well, to just collapse and fall and just hand it over to these people and just let them take over. I mean, we know what's coming. We know what's coming for Sweden and Germany, because when you let all these people in and you let them start breeding and you get them on benefits, and that's what's happening in Sweden. The Swedish people are paying for these people to bludge on their system, and it's going to collapse because Sweden's like here a little bit, where you've got a lot of an elderly race as well, like in the UK or maybe in Germany. Not a lot of white people are breeding like we should. That's because we're being bred out and we're not breeding people like we should be doing. And these dark-skinned people, these Muslims, whatever they are, these Africans, they breed a lot faster. The Asians are a lot quicker, the darker-skinned people, than white people do. Once they get a stronghold in there, you're going to start seeing a collapse of their economy, their system, their infrastructure. You're going to get more crime on the streets, you know. And you know, to see these in, you know, to know that somewhere like Sweden has such a terrible high rape crisis going on there, where these blacks are just grabbing at these blonde women and raping them. And now you're getting that in Germany and all over, and you're going to get this decline in morals and general society there, and you're going to get German cities looking like Detroit, you know, with just crime and graffiti and no work, and all the German people are going to try and get out of there, just like they're doing in the UK. You know, you have famous British actors like John Cleese coming out and saying, I don't recognize Britain anymore. I walk around London, I can't recognize it, and it's just all people, women with burqas on and dark-skinned people. So they're all moving out to the country, you know? But, you know, you start getting floods in the country, you start getting hardship out in the country where people are forced back to the city. That's where you get a disaster. But when you get people in Western countries and, you know, running away and moving further out into the country zones, while these people take over the cities and ruin these beautiful cities that European people built, you know, it's really sad. All the infrastructure, the trains, the buses, the work, the beautiful buildings, the beautiful churches, everything they built is going to be collapsed and destroyed. Their economies, all because of letting these people in that should not be there in the first place. And you can't tell me, no one can tell me that the European can't get their armies together and round these people up and get them back out there where they came from. Step in now and stop it. They could do it. They've got the resources to go in, step in every European country and stop it and round them up and take them back.
But you know, that, like we said earlier, yes, they could. They could do it in 2 weeks. This could be done in 2 weeks. The Navy could stop escorting these hordes into... Yes, the navies of Italy and Greece, they escort these people. They're not rescuing people. They're saving them and bringing them back
to
the mainland.
Don't have to harm
this is
anyone.
The first time. There's something really new about this, too. And it's once we get our handle on it, maybe it'll be easier to take care of it. This is not an invasion of guns and bullets. This is an invasion of penises and vaginas. And that's probably even worse than the guns and bullets, because we could defeat guns and bullets. People are armed. Right now, though, I think we don't. Okay, the world's leaders, especially in Europe, they're not going to do a damn thing. They haven't done anything. They welcome these people with open arms. They insist on taking more. So now it's up to the people to unseat their leaders. Their leaders are their worst enemies.
Exactly.
These are not leaders.
Exactly.
And somehow, some way, I don't know how they're going to do it. Even if it's violent, it's got to be done. These leaders have to be dragged out of their seats of power and sent into exile, if that's what it takes. Get rid of them. And it's, you know, this is something you either do or die. You will do this or you will die. It's as simple as that. Now, do I think the Europeans will finally come to their senses? Yes, I do. I think what's happening right now is very similar to what happened in America when the blacks were basically turned loose in the cities. Our cities were also at one time very beautiful. Now they're, you know, they look like something after World War II in Germany. They're bombed out, burned out. But here's what I want to say. Europeans have been very giving, very generous, a very good, altruistic people. I've never met any better people in my life than Europeans. Well, now suddenly that altruism is going to start fading away quickly.
Good.
Because now they're up against different folks, different thoughts. People, you know, the white race is the only race that makes the exception that every other race looks at another person racially. Unlike the white race, we look at an individual before we look at the race. We judge people as individuals, not on racial reasons. But that's going to be changing very quickly. The white race is going to have to coalesce or perish, whether through murder, outright murder, or, like I said, the vaginas and the penis, the war of penises and vaginas. And I think they will, because now they're going to be a lot like inner city whites here in America. Very street smart, very savvy, very racially conscious. They're not. They don't swallow the BS that's being passed out by the Jewish media about how we should all be together. They say, "No, well, look, we tried that. It doesn't work." They're the racists. These are the ones that hang together and basically beat the shit out of us when we get out of school. We're not the ones waiting to beat them on the corner. They're the ones beating us, and that's what Europeans are going to be finding out very, very quickly. They're going to find out what a pack of racists they have let into their nation, especially the black Africans. And I'm not so sure about the Middle Eastern. That may be a different subject altogether.
They've done nothing but cause trouble in Australia. And they won't integrate with our society. They've already said on national television here, I saw it the other night, that they don't want to accept our flag or anything to do with us. They don't like our culture, our food, our lifestyle, the way we dress, nothing. And, you know, but they're heavily involved with their own religion. You know, and their own way of life, their own customs, which they're allowed to preach and display at will in Australia. But, you know, white people say anything about it, well, you're the bad guy. But they've openly said that, you know, they don't really want anything to do with our culture. So you ask yourself, well, what are you doing here? Why don't you go back to Lebanon? Why don't you go back to the Middle Eastern countries where you're better to be? No, because they want their cake and they want to eat it too. Because they know we've got a nice country here. That they never built. Europeans built this country. You know, you go to Sydney and you go to Sydney Harbour and you look at the Opera House and you look at all that. A lot of mixed people built that, but it was mostly European people that built that. They didn't build that. They came here and all they've done is cause trouble. All they've done, Tom, and to be honest, I'm really serious here, all they've done is cause trouble, these Middle Easterners in Australia, because they just simply don't fit in Australia. you know?
Let me say something. This is going to sound a little strange. I'm going to defend Muslims for a change. I'm going to look at it through their perspective. For the last 20, 30 years, the United States and Israel have been at war with them, have been bombing the hell out of every country in the Middle East, have been killing their scientists in Iran, have been destroying their infrastructure, have been shocking and awing and conquering and then booting out the leaders, the natural leaders, and then bringing in your own Abu Ghraib jailers to torture and do things like that. And this has been going on not just yesterday. This has been going on for decades. And suddenly now, looking at it from their perspective, you know, that's a lot of enmity to build up, a lot of hatred for Europe, UK, France, the nations there who have sent the who have made up these so-called groups, these coalitions that go and destroy Middle Eastern nations. Now the Middle East is invading Europe. Now they're letting us see their hatred. And, you know, in one sense, I cannot blame them. Israel has instigated these wars, has got its pit bull proxy, the United States, to dutifully go in and attack these nations, destroy them, occupy them. Israel comes in, carpet bags, loots these nations down to the last shekel, takes over the gas pipelines, things like that, the oil. And now, finally, this entire region has been destroyed. Iran is the last nation, to my knowledge right now, to stand fairly intact. But let's face it, Syria has gone. It's been destroyed.
Gone.
Iran is next.
Yeah.
Now, can you – it's probably no surprise that the Muslim invaders hate everything about Europeans because they blame Europe and America and especially Israel, of course, for what has happened to their lands. So – looking at it from their perspective, and it's back to Israel. We're back to Israel, the fomenter and the great instigator of all the murder, mayhem, and destruction in the Middle East right now. And guess what? We stupid American taxpayers are paying their rate. We're paying their way through this. They want more planes and bombs. They got them. They want more money to attack and assassinate Iranian scientists. They've got it. They want us to cover for them. They got that too. They've got America standing behind them all the way for this rogue criminal nation. So let's don't go any further than that. We took it all the way back to the source, Israel.
Well,
the
they
instigator.
Always get away with it. The thing I'd say, Tom, to be honest, is that, you know, I absolutely agree with what you've said, and you know, I these people have just been, you know, bombed out of existence, you know, in the Middle East. And the thing is that a Western country like Australia or America or Europe, it's not our fault that that's happening. These are extremely evil people that are making this all happen. And as you said, I do feel sorry for the Middle Easterners because they're being bombed out of their homes and they don't have where to go. And of course, they're going to be angry at the West. You know, my point strictly is that I just think my personal opinion is that I just don't think that Australia, being a Western European, you know, European sort of settled country, is the right place for these Middle Easterners. That's just what I believe. I know there's a lot of great Middle Eastern families here from Lebanon, and they mix into our culture. They love our sports and food. I'm not talking about them. They've been here a long time. They're great. I just mean a lot of them have come in over the years, and they don't integrate. They don't dress like us, they don't act like us, and I just don't think this is the right place for them, and I don't think Europe is as well. But I do feel sorry that this is happening to them. The one thing that irritates me is that in those countries, in some very strict Middle Eastern countries, I've heard of Australians in Dubai, for example, who are in prison for swearing on the street. If our women go over there to some of these strict Muslim countries, they have to dress correctly or that you'll be arrested. If I go over to some of these Muslim countries and I preach Christianity, I'll probably get my head cut off. If I go over and do a lot of things that they're allowed to do here, you know, I'm not going to get away with it, but they're allowed to come here and preach their religion, wear their dress, do whatever they want because we're white and we're just meant to tolerate it because that's the way we are. And that makes me angry because, frankly, I don't want to go over to the Middle East and I don't want to live there. But if I did, I would have to go over there and respect their laws and do what they do. Otherwise, I'd get myself arrested or my hands cut off because it's very strict over there in some of those Muslim countries. But they have open rein here to do whatever they want. And that kind of attitude is right throughout the Western countries. because we're just Western, we're white, and we put up with it. You know, that's our job, to put up with them. And I just look at them and I just don't feel like they belong here. But I agree with you on that point, that I do feel for them. They're, you know, and I don't think the Syrians are to blame in any of this. But as you said, it goes back to Israel, and they get away with it again. No one mentions them. You know, everyone's blowing the hell out of each other, but Israel, untouched again.
Don't misinterpret what I'm saying either. No, I want the invasion stopped. I want white leaders in the world of in white nations to suddenly start acting like they care more about their own people than they do people invading criminally from other nations. And they're not doing that. This is my country, by God. This
we
country
need, we need to come first.
My people settled it. That's right. It's my nation. It's not your nation. It's not everybody on Earth's nation. No. And that's one way of getting rid of white nations, is basically allow the invaders to come in and then basically make it a criminal offense if you dislike that. For instance, right now, the only way people are showing their anger and their frustration is burning these refugee houses. Refugee, that's not a word I want to use. These criminal apartments and homes that the countries like Germany are setting up to let them live there, perhaps free for all I know. Plenty of food, plenty of clothes, whatever. And somehow that's showing the altruism of Germany, Merkel. It's not either. What it's doing is killing Germany. She knows that. And that she doesn't care, does not care a damn, not a bit. You cannot let that many people into a nation like Germany and insist that this is for the good of the country.
Oh, my goodness. Not with German society. It isn't going to work. That is terrifying. You know?
It is. And I don't know what to say except...
It's bad enough here, and it's hot here. I mean, they like the heat, but Germany, it does not mix at all. I mean, would any of our listeners agree with an Australian Muslim party? I mean, contesting federal and state elections? I mean, would our listeners agree to have in Australia a Muslim party that actually gets power in state and federal elections? Would I be able to go over to Islam and start an Australia party, you know, for white people? I would be killed, Tom. But they're allowed to do it here, you know, and that's that's the thing, you know, that's the thing. And they're going to do that in Germany. They're going to do it in those countries. They're going to start getting more power, and they're going to start changing laws unless the German people stop this. As you said, the German people should come first. The white people in white countries, Australia, America, you guys should come. We should all come first and have a say, but we don't. They just flood in.
No, these are deracinated leaders we have. They could care less about us. Apparently, they're not concerned
traitors.
Yes, and we are the least of their concerns. That's pretty clear to me. And by the way, while we Americans are very upset about what's going on in Europe, we should be equally concerned about what's going on in America. In fact, Donald Trump, he's the only candidate for president.
Only one.
That actually talks about ending that by kicking the ones out that estimated from 15 to 30 million that are here illegally, booting them out, building a wall, and probably actually shooting down a few of them if they ever try to cross over that wall, just to stop this invasion of America. Now, will he do it? I don't know. Let's put it this way. He's saying he will, and that's good enough for me right now because nobody else is saying that. In that sense, he's saying to millions of white people, and by the way, he's way ahead of everybody in the Republican polls here. Now, I'm not sure that the powers that be will allow him to go all the way, because they do have a way of stopping people dead in their tracks. But that's exactly what this country wants to hear. And that's the reason the numbers are so incredibly high, these crazy numbers that they like to put out. They like to create their own illusion of reality, the Jewish media, with their polls. The polls actually something – I saw something the other day that was something like 62 to 68% of the people who would vote for Donald Trump. Everybody else has got like 20%. Put them all together, just 20%.
Their own and polls are turning against them.
Yes. But Europe doesn't have that. I don't think they've got any candidate. Well, no, I'm getting off the subject. I'm showing my ignorance here. But what we need are candidates like that who say things like Trump, and not only say it, but get elected. then maybe we could turn this train wreck around. And I'm going to tell you, what is done can be undone, and very quickly, too.
Yeah, well, no, Hungary does. Some countries do. They've stood up. Yes. Hungary being one. He had a lot of great things to say, and he warned about this.
They whine about the yes, the bleeding hearts and the usual suspects talk about what a terrible event it would be to send people back where they came from, here in the United States, back to Mexico, back to El Salvador, places like that. Well,
you guys are in trouble. I mean, Barack Obama and U.S. intelligence, they're giving more warnings. This is from independent media about imminent home soil attacks because there's no way to vet refugees coming into America from the Middle East, and the White House has absolutely no policy or strategy to defeat ISIS. So, you know, it's like Obama's just standing there like a zombie, you know? He's not doing anything. At least Trump's saying something, but this Obama's not doing anything. As you said, some of these leaders like Merkel and all these European leaders, we got them here in Australia, they're just weird.
These are criminals.
They're criminals, yeah. Criminals. They're almost smirking, Tom. They're almost laughing about it. They're just pathetic, you know?
The laughter may stop pretty soon. I'm not joking.
It's
about
like a
this.
Hyena's laugh or something.
Yeah, I've been a historian for quite a while. I know how quickly things can change. And this crisis, this
I think you're right. Yeah, I think you're right with Germany as well. I think the Germans can get these people out, you know, and sort of it could ricochet, you know, around the world. But if there's enough of them, Tom. The damage isn't done fully yet. If they get up and get rid of this Merkel and kick all those traitors out and force change by pushing back in the throat, and we see that kind of fall in Germany and the people take the country back and they get some proper leaders in, that could be enough. I look at Germany as you do because it's so important. And it's, you know, you look at Germany to display everything. You know, we've got Sweden and other countries, but Germany's where it's all going to fall. That's what they're attacking, you know? That's what they want to bring down.
Of all the white tribes, Germany is probably the the greatest and the strongest. And these are the culture carriers, the culture creators. And they've always been that way. I'm not saying other nations, the Netherlands and Spain and Italy and Poland and France. I'm not saying they aren't either, but Germany has almost always been the leader in everything. Once the petty fiefdoms they had, and once it became Germany, then they quickly became the leader of Europe and the world in everything, virtually everything, in finance, in economics, in industry, in inventions, in all the wonderful things. Germany was there, and this deliberate attempt to slaughter Germany is an attempt to slaughter all of us. What happens, you know, in fact, I've become extremely radical in the last few years, and it stems almost entirely from my work on Hellstorm and realizing just what we're talking about, what is ahead for us unless we get a grip. I there was a time when I wouldn't say certain things, or I would hedge my bets. I wouldn't in polite company, I still won't get on a soapbox up on a corner and spout off there because it's stupid. This is an occupied world we live in. But the time for acquiescence, the time for reticence, the time for just minding your P's and Q's, that's dead and gone, folks. It's over.
It's gone a long time ago.
We either cross that line and come out fighting, or it's over. I believe we'll cross that line and come out fighting. I think we're doing it already. But no more of that.
I hope people can read
silence
that book, Tom. I really
silence don't. Is silence is acquiescence right now. You're basically complicit in the crime if you say and do nothing. You know what we're talking about, to you listeners out there. To say and do nothing is to be complicit in the crime that's going on right now. By hook, by crook, do what you can. If you've got money, give to the group or individual that best sums up your philosophy, that sizes up exactly what you stand for. If you've got money, please give it. It's not going to do any good in that worm farm you're going to buy one of these days. It's not going to do you any good. Give it to any group right now that is fighting for your rights and for your heritage, for your culture. If you have no money, give your time, give your talent. If you've got talent, give it to some group, some individual. If it's writing, if it's a film, if it's computer knowledge, give that. Offer it at least. Or start your own website, your own podcast. If you don't have money, if you don't have talent, do something. Write into blogs. Write into these message boards. When you see something, someone saying something that you know is evil and hurtful and anti-white, don't let them get away with it. No matter what you've got to do, don't let them get away with it. Argue. And by all means, above all else, make yourself the strongest possible person you can. Mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Learn. Become educated. Learn languages. Do everything you can to exercise that mind. Make yourself strong. Become physically strong as well. Stop sitting around eating potato chips and watching sports. Stop guzzling one beer after another. Become strong. Make your body a machine. We need that. We need that right now. Above all, make that the most important muscle in your body. Make it strong, and that's your brain. Use it. Work, but come over. Join us. We're still let me say this. I would like to see numbers, but right now quality is better than the quantity of the people. We have got some incredible talent coming over to our side. I talk with them virtually every day. I would never name names, and I won't even name their occupations. I'll say that some of these people that I talk to are at the top of the food chain in their various professions. I will say some of the professions. Some of the professions are medicine. I talk with surgeons. I talk with doctors. I talk with people who are creative, who are artists, who make great movies, who write great songs and perform good music. And I'm not talking about some of your average strummers on the sidewalks in Sydney or Dublin or London or whatever. I'm talking about some very accomplished people. I even have a friend. He's a higher up in the EU, totally on our side, and he does what he can. And now let's let the leaders on the EU figure out who it is. Let them spend some of their time there figuring that out instead of condemning Putin and Russia, who's actually trying to make a change in the world for the better. And so what I'm getting at, and I'm making a soapbox appeal here to people, is it's not enough to just listen to podcasts like Adam's or listen to authors like myself. At some point, you've got to start doing something on your own. You have to become a 24/7 warrior. You have to become a guerrilla fighter, so to speak. Yes, I agree. We're living in an occupied nation. Wherever you're at right now, it's occupied by your worst enemy, quite honestly. And so you've got to act like that. You've got to become a guerrilla. Be anonymous if you have to be. You can do a lot of things with anonymity. But right now, activism is what we need throughout Europe, throughout the white world. We need people who are active. Sometimes active means getting on the internet. It means sometimes actually getting your teeth broken. It means just doing something. The idea that we can now sit around and allow other people to fight our fights, that's dead and gone. It's over. We must be heard. We're not doing a good enough job now. They can ignore us. I'm talking about Germany. I'm talking about the United States. Other nations like that, we're not making enough noise in this world. I plan on even I'm sure that they'd like to throw me into prison in a number of countries over there and throw away the key, but I am definitely coming to Europe for some of the bigger movement marches that's going to be taking place over the next year. And if they want to try to get me in the mob, we'll let them go for it. But no, I cannot sit still when this is going on.
I agree absolutely. One thing that bugs me a little bit, Tom, although we do very well with this podcast, and I was like you, I was just thinking, what can we do to do something, you know? And you know, we use Facebook as media output, and sometimes get thousands of people reached through there. We had you know, over 1,000 people just in barely 2 days on the website, a couple of points, which is great for an independent show. But sometimes I think about that. The biggest sort of alternative media in the world that I know of would be InfoWars, which is the whole Alex Jones thing. I don't know what you think about him, you know. But and then the only one I can think of is RT, But, you know, InfoWars is just so big, and, you know, they've got the money and the gloss and the websites and the reporters and the news and that sort of something. Red Ice Radio as well. But sometimes I sort of think, you know, I look at what we're doing and you're doing, and I look at Red Ice and I look at Renegade Broadcasting there with Kyle and Lana's show, and I look at, you know, our friend Don Fox, who's doing radio, and Dr. Reamer and everybody, and I think, It's really great what we're all doing, and we're all making an effect. But wouldn't it be good, instead of doing everything separately, to come in and do one media source, as you said, like a 24-hour-a-day thing, and yes, all put our resources and our money into it together, so we all, like, have our different shows on? I know the Health Ranger, what is his name? He does the Natural News, Mike Adams. He's done that now, so he's got a 24/7 online live radio programs that just with continued guests, sort of like Veterans Today do and all those sort of things. But that's what you're sort of alluding to, Tom, as well, like maybe pulling everything together and having like a worldwide sort of thing that we can have people tweeting and Facebook and linking up and, you know. But I feel like it's hard too, because I'm here in Sydney doing this, and, you know, other people are doing their stuff, and we're all sort of doing our thing, but it's all got different names and it's all separate. And I was just thinking that the other day, wouldn't it be good to just, you know, probably one of the biggest I know is Red Ice Radio. I think they definitely, I know they obviously need people to help. So I would say people to donate to Red Ice and Henrik and Lana to help them, and become a subscriber, because they're sort of looking at making more film and expanding. But I can understand it's hard. It's so hard, Tom, to do just a simple podcast. It costs money to have a website, as you know. And then you start getting into video and uploading. It gets very tough, you know. And then if you want to do sort of like a nightly news or YouTube things, it, you know, every gigabyte costs you money, you know. Space costs money, and it's hard. So, but that plan that you had is definitely a good one. That's how I feel, the way that we should go, instead of doing separate things to get do everything together, you know.
Yes, we needed an alternative to the mainstream media. There's no doubt about it. We need an alternative news service.
They're so big, aren't they, Tom? Fox News and CNN, they're so glossy and so overpowering and so big every night at 6 and 7 o'clock and millions of people watching. It's so hard for us to compete, you know?
That may be true, but once credibility is reached, and once people realize that, hey, this is where I go for my truth, then there's not going to be any problem. And that's why it's so important to be absolutely as honest and truthful and faithful as we possibly can with this new alternative news service, which is going to happen. It's just a matter of time right now. Yeah, you're naming some incredible talent when you're talking about Kyle's group and Red Ice and, on and on. And let me say this, too. It sounds like I'm advocating to just stop listening to podcasts like Adam's and to just hit the streets type of thing. Believe me, shows like this, shows like Renegade and Red Ice, and I'm going to leave out a lot of really good programs here.
It's getting out to millions, Tom, around the world.
Yes, it is. It's just expanding. A very necessary thing, because there's always new people coming along that are seeking exactly what they are talking about.
Log on. Imagine trying to do that with a letter, Tom, sending a letter out to everyone like in the old days. But now you do a podcast, and we're reaching, you know, sometimes 30 countries.
There's people like myself, though, and perhaps like yourself, and thousands, tens of thousands just like us, that we have reached a point where we know what's going on in the world. We don't need to hear any more podcasts about what's happening, because we know what's going on. No. We know who's doing it, too. We're the ones that need to hit the streets, because we've reached our own critical mass, so to speak. It's just become too much of a hobby now to sit around listening. Once you know what's going on, then you've got to ratchet it up, take it up another notch, and become an official, actual activist. Not a sedentary activist listening to a podcast. I mean, actually take action. And if that means standing outside of the Reichstag in Germany with a sign calling Merkel the greatest traitor to Germany ever, then that's what I mean. Things like – I'm not advocating planting bombs and stuff like that. That's the worst thing right now that could happen to our movement, is to become violent. In fact, anybody would advocate that's probably working for the other side. I'm going to tell you straight, because I'm just not going to get into that. Of course, I would like to see it happen really quick. And some people think violence, that's the way it will happen quick. Could be. I'm not saying it will. I'm saying the odds are it won't be that way, though. It'll be the opposite. It'll be a devastation to our movement. And so right now, no. In fact, I hope never there's violence. I wish the other side would just say, hey, look, we're outnumbered, we're outgunned, we're outbrained, we're out everything. It's time to give it up. I wish they'd just someday wake up in the morning and say, hey, I'm tired of trying to fight this battle. The nationalists, the white nationalists around the world, they won. They're going to get to keep their own nations. We're going to send back all the blacks and browns who have invaded the white world. They're going to have their world back again. But that is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Power is intoxicating. And so there's going to be some amount of violence. I can't predict how much, though. I think less than most people might imagine. They see blood in the streets. They see revolution. I don't think – well, I'm getting off on thin ice now.
I agree. But the scary – the worry is what we talked about before, is that the perpetrators behind this and France, they're getting people's anger. They're getting them to focus that anger on Syria. You know, instead of who really did this. And that's what I was alluding to before. You know, I don't have anything against Middle Easterners in the Middle East, but I have something against so many of them coming to our countries because I just don't think they belong here like we don't belong there. I'm not going to do very well over there with my way of thinking. But, you know, I think the whole world now, their attention is going to be focused on hating Syria. Like what happened with 9/11 in Iraq. And what did he really do? I mean, Iraq didn't have any weapons of mass destruction that we know of, but they bombed them back into the Stone Age. And, you know, that's what's happening now. Everyone's pointing their anger at Syria, and they're not pointing their anger at who really did this, but also, as you said, pointing their anger towards getting people like Merkel out, because that's a start. These people work for these ghouls, these fiends. People like Merkel and these so-called leaders in our country, in America, you know, Obama, as you said, at least Trump is change. And that's what we need. So if people can take to the streets and protest and work together in their elections to get these people out and unseat them, that's going to cause a lot of unrest as well, because these ghouls who hide in their bunkers or hide in their coffins, wherever they hide, these rich Zionist bankers in particular, they don't do any of their dirty work like they didn't do any of their dirty work in World War II, Tom. You know, they didn't actually go down there on the ground and slaughter all those people, but they made people do it. You know, as people will read in your book, the mindset behind making people do that. So it's really a problem, reaction, solution. That's a great saying. They create a problem, the people react, and they steer the solution, which is always us losing our rights and going after the wrong people and focusing our attention away from where it should be focused.
You know, I got to tell you this. I read something the other day, and it was one of the original idea people with the first Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush. The crime syndicate. Yeah. But he was the first one to coin the phrase New World Order, how the world will be entering that. And one of his advisors there, one of the main people who was trying to implement the so-called New World Order, he said something just the other day, and I can't even remember what his name was, but he said, someone asked him, well, what about the New World Order? Have you seen it finally come to fruition? And he said, nope. And the guy asked, well, we thought perhaps it had. No, he said, and he asked why. He said, because there was too much friction against the New World Order.
Yeah.
And what he meant by that was not just in higher echelons. He was talking about the average person in the street. There was always friction. Always people talking about they weren't going to have any part of this, fought things like the metric system in the United States. And that may sound quaint and antiquated to you in Australia with the metric system and other people in Europe. But Americans just didn't want the New World Order, and that was part of it. Things like that or various organizations that were a part of the New World Order. That should give everybody listening tonight hope, because when you think you're just one person, what can I do? Well, you can drag your feet. In many, many ways, you can drag your feet. We were talking about it just a moment ago. You can drag your feet by squawking on message boards, not letting people get away with saying certain things like how Israel is our only ally in the Middle East and how a wonderful ally they are to America. Nonsense, lies, outright fabrications like that. You can argue with people about other things. For instance, Putin. I personally believe right now, in fact, I'm all for Putin and Russia blasting the hell out of these so-called rebels, the ISIS head choppers and the other clowns running around there.
Absolutely.
All for it. Yep. I'm all for that. And so there's lots of ways. You just got to use your own ingenuity to fight your guerrilla battle, your 24/7 fight for freedom, for our culture, for our race, for happiness, for lightness, for brightness, for for the things that we're going to, the white race, let's just say the white race ends tomorrow. Let's say there's no more white race. In my opinion, last man out, turn off the lights, because this world is not going to be a very pretty place. Now, I'm not saying some of the Asians are not, would not be good gatekeepers. But you think about the things the white race has given the world. Not the least, political philosophies. And I think that's what the Jew hates most about the white race, is our spirit of freedom and our love of beauty and science, and how we put emphasis on the lovely aspects of life. I think that's antithesis of what they think thinking about. But I'm getting off the track a bit. But I just want everybody out there listening to, when you get the opportunity, become a 24/7 warrior, please. Fight this ugly monster that's wanting to destroy us all. I'm really talking in ambiguities, I know, right now, and it's kind of difficult to be specific because, I'm preaching to the choir. I'm sure most of your folks out there know exactly what we're talking about. In fact, probably many of them are much more up on current events than I am. So,
It's always the way. It's always the
yeah,
way.
It is. Oh, but let me say something too, Adam, and I know you want to get off earlier tonight as I start winding down, but I do have a website. Anybody interested in checking out some of the things I've written? It's thomasgoodrich.com, thomasgoodrich.com. And I think I write better than I speak, so some of the things I'm talking about tonight, I write about also, and it's probably easier and more intelligent to read what I've written rather than listen to me, especially when I'm kind of dragging my wagon tonight. I apologize for that, but I was hoping to have a little help tonight on the radio. But hey, where's Garth at? Is he off fishing or something?
Yeah, off again. I haven't been able to contact him. I told him today at 10 a.m., but he's off somewhere.
It's morning in Australia. I keep forgetting that.
Morning. Yeah, it's Tuesday morning.
It's been dark for 2 hours here in America now.
Going into winter there. Yeah. Well, not for you. Yeah. But.
No, you guys are getting, not in Florida, but you guys are slipping into summer, aren't you?
Yes.
Spring and summer?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I know you're a bit tired as well. Couldn't get Garth today, but I'm sure he's around somewhere. I wasn't going to do a podcast for a few weeks, but
I understand.
Contacted you, and always good to get you, because you've been busy and out and about so much lately. So to chat with you about world affairs today. Anyway, get your idea on everything. Yeah,
I got to say a couple of things, then I'll get off. I don't know about your jack jumpers. I suppose they're springing to life right now. But our fire ants are on the wane, because apparently it's not getting enough rain. It's getting a little cooler here. And I haven't been bitten in 2 weeks, and I was being bit a couple times every day in the ankles. So that's one good thing. But I do think I encountered some invasive species of wasp from Australia, because the other day I was cleaning some windows outside in the house, and I noticed a little wasp nest up there and a number of medium-sized wasps. And as soon as I sprayed some Windex on them to try to get them out of there, one of them came flying out of there and got me right on the finger.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, my hand swelled up to double. It was that way for 2 days. I wanted to scratch a hole in my hand clear to China, how itchy that gets. But I've never been stung by any bee, wasp, hornet. in America. So this must be from Australia, one of these
We have a European ones, I think, that are gnarly as well. But, you know, our native Australian bees don't sting. It's the European bees that sting. People think that all bees sting, but the Australian native bees aren't stingers.
Have you ever seen those things in Japan, those hornets from Japan?
Oh, it's
oh my God. They're
genetically modified.
Yeah, they're as big as birds. And they look extremely wicked. But on that rather goofy note, you know, I really appreciate you. I didn't realize this was a special edition.
It's not. No. I've had we had a week or so off, but we're pretty much back now when we can be. Got a lot to go in. We're doing a lot of medical stuff with the vaccine issue here with Dr. Rima because of draconian laws that have come into place in Australia. But because of our intervention and getting all these great guests on who are doctors and pushing this out on Facebook, we've had massive changes here and now where it's led to huge marches across Australia and new marches coming up in Sydney. And these marches are actually going to be held out front of the Rupert Murdoch newspapers in Sydney there because they're the ones who are spreading all the propaganda and the lies in regards to vaccines on the public because Rupert Murdoch, as you know, is up to his eyeballs with big pharmaceutical companies, and so is his family and so is our new Prime Minister. He actually has shares in Pfizer, I think it is. So these people sell vaccines. That's what they do. And Rupert Murdoch uses his newspapers to scare everybody. So we've got huge protests happening, there out front of one of Rupert Murdoch's newspaper outlets. So where they pump this rubbish out. So this is good. We've forced actually people now are taking to the streets all over Australia in regards to this issue. So great. There's a fire in the belly of people with that issue, as I said, but and many other issues with GMOs and this attack on life. But as we know, Tom, it's not just a bloody attack in France and with what's going on in Europe. It's also, as you said, it's a mind war. They're attacking the mind of the white man, which is what the Jew hates and is so jealous of because of all the beautiful things we create and do. And our actual mindset, as you said, unfortunately... that can be I think, as you said near the start, the white European people, they're very trusting and open. And I know that's the way it's always been in Australia. We believe here in a fair go. You know, if you take your car to a mechanic and he does a good job, I will always go back to that person, you know. When people do a good job for you or they're fair, if you let them into your home and they're good to you and they help out, then that's the way we generally are. But I think, as you said, it's a double sword there. It's a double-sided coin there because I think on the other side, if we get our backs up, we can get very angry and you don't want to mess with us in that respect. But
it's true. You know, the most dangerous.
It is a mind war, as I said, on us with the TV and the Jewish propaganda. And the Jews seem to know where to get the white man, and it's through the TV and the media, through the mind, and they attack our good morals and our good heart and nature by pretending to be on our side and manipulating that part of us. So people need to toughen up there, as you said, Tom. The white people need to toughen up a little bit more and know what's going on and start pushing back more here. And I think we can do it, you know?
Yeah, we're the most intelligent, creative, inventive race on the face of the planet. A lot of folks, when you own the media, you can build yourself up to become the paragons of all intelligence and all virtue. But the fact is, we are the greatest race on earth. Now, I'm not advocating getting rid of the other races. I actually love the variety, and I really do. Not in my country. I don't care for the diversity in my country. But the Jew is a very well-educated but they lack our creativity and our inventions and our intelligence, quite honestly. They have something we don't have, though, and that's persistence. Oh, yeah. For some reason, they can look ahead thousands of years. We think about tomorrow, and we've got to stop that. We've got to start looking ahead years, not days, not weeks.
Planning.
Because it's been used against us. I've got something I want to tell you, too. I was scheduled to be on a program with a lady who does a lot of work just like you're doing with the medical field and GMOs and inoculations and stuff like that. Her name is Desiree Rover, and she was living in Holland. I'd been on her program a couple of times while I was scheduled to be on about a week ago. And 1.5 hour before we went on, Desiree emailed me and said she had just been fired and her show was canceled. Mm. And the louse who was the boss gave her a lecture on what a bigoted person she was, and what an anti-Semitic, neo-Nazi racist she was, and how all these invading hordes, these dark hordes from Africa and the Middle East, how they're just people too.
Must kiss their feet. Yeah.
Yes, and that was the, you know, it was bad enough being fired, bad enough losing your show on this radio system, but to be lectured by some hypocrite. I'd like to know if he's allowing in maybe a dozen or 20 into his own home to take care of them forever and ever and ever, to clothe and feed them their medical bills. I wonder if that louse, that hypocrite, was running that.
Yeah, we've got the same here on our radio. I watch the nightly news. You've got these very attractive, beautiful, blonde Australian reporting women up there going on with all this same crap, you know, that we're racist. And it's like, what are you doing? You're prepared to sell your soul out for a news media outlet that tells you what to say and do and think? I mean, that's not what they think, Tom. It's just what they're told to do, you know?
These are the people we've always had among us. And
you wouldn't believe they're our enemy as well. You know?
There's not much going on between the ears of these people. They will follow who's ever got the power. They're pretty much soulless. I'm ashamed to say that they're white people. They've always been among us. They'll watch which side is going to win, and then they'll go over to that side that's going to win. If we start winning, trust me, we've got to identify these people so they never, ever get power again. These unscrupulous, soulless, demagogue type of people. Now, in the case of your reporter, I'm just talking about some totally empty-headed news reader with the IQ of an ice cube, some people that really, they're followers. And we've always had them. It's always the same.
All the same.
There's like 6% of us to the 13%
disgusting.
Who are like Adam and Tom. And the rest of them, the 80-some percent, are like the ones you're talking about right now, news readers who...
Oh, man, you should see them. 70% of our media in Australia is controlled by Rupert Murdoch. And you should read these papers. They have become so low and so pathetic that it defies belief. I mean, you pick these papers up and you just shake your head in disbelief that anybody in their right mind can not only read that and believe it, but pay for it. I mean, at $2 a day, add that up over a year. And they go and they pay for this absolute propaganda and vomit and filth, and they believe it. And then they arm themselves with this ridiculous information, and they come and fire it at you like you're the enemy, you know. And it's like, you're a white person too. Why do you want your country to be destroyed? I don't understand. Why do you want these people to flood in here like they're doing into Europe? You want to pay for them? Where are they going to work? They don't speak English. They don't have any skills. I mean, we've got to work to pay for them, and we're already taxed to the gills in this country.
Mm-hmm. It seems like we've got an insurmountable mountain to climb. When you think about the power structure in this world, the power grid, the Jewish power grid, and when you think about for want of any better phrase, the white traitors among us, really they're not traitors. They're the followers who have always been there. But, you know, once we correct one problem, then the other will correct itself. So we shouldn't worry too much about when we finally get control of our destiny, we've got to cull the white herd. The white herd is the sickest herd of any herd on earth.
It is.
We have become sick, spiritually sick, morally sick, and even physically sick. I look at the incidence of obesity and anorexia among whites. We are the sickest of all races, and we have to cure that. We have to stop that. Some people are just going to have to go. They've got to be culled. I'm getting off on a tangent here.
I agree.
Like always, it's been my pleasure to be on here.
It's good comments, Thomas. It has to be said. And it's like with the refugee crisis itself, with all those people flooding into Europe, Israel built a wall to keep them out. And the media don't tell you that, do they? I didn't hear that. All I heard was how evil European people are and how evil Germans are and how racist they are. And here's Israel building a big, massive wall to keep them out. I mean, you know, here's the Saudi Arabians with all these hundreds of thousands of air-conditioned tents empty, and not one of them are allowed to stay there, you know? Not one Middle Eastern country let them in to take care of them, but the Europeans are the evil ones. You know, and here's Israel in front of the whole world building a wall, and nothing gets mentioned on our mainstream media, just that Germany's evil and racist. You know?
The Jewish media takes care of its own, doesn't it?
Oh, they do. They do.
Israel
can
build a wall. It expels pretty quick when they get it. They're sent packing again to other places.
You're
they're
not going to
stay there. And that's admirable. But we want that same ability to do that with our own nations.
And we want people
but
to know
But the Jewish
that.
Media makes us out to be the worst of all people on earth because we want to stay white. In a white nation, we want a happy, healthy life and culture. Now, they make us out to be terrible, but on the other hand, they ignore their favorite nation, Israel, while they try to protect their race. I have no problem with any country, even Israel, protecting itself. But I want that same ability for my nation, for my people. And that's where the hypocrisy enters in. And that's why I'll never stop fighting this evil in the world until that stops. Old ladies being arrested and put in prison because you're questioning the Holocaust. Well, that's quite a truth. Any truth that needs a prison term is obviously a lie. And many people are seeing through that. Anyway, we're back to go, and I think that's probably a good place to get. Hey, thanks so much. I got to go make supper, believe it or not.
Good catching up today, Tom, and we'll do it again soon. What's on your horizon? What's coming up for you?
Translation of my book, Hellstorm, into Spanish. It's going to spring in the next couple of months.
So that would be for Latin America, for Spain?
Spain. Mexico. Argentina, Chile.
Chile will go very well in Chile.
So that will be out in 2 months, I think. And other things. I've got two more books that I'm going to have published. Pretty much the same subject, just a little different to some of the stuff I've written in my life. And other than that, just trying to stay healthy and enjoy this rather cool weather now in Florida. Suddenly it's not 100 anymore, it's 85. So
nice time of year in Florida, the winter. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but my ambition is to get over to Australia someday and see Adam and Garth and have a Foster's beer.
Oh, I won't give you a Foster's, man. I wouldn't do that to you.
You would?
No, I wouldn't. Just,
even if I wanted
I'd call that assault.
But
I'll
anyway,
something better than that. Jeez, no one drinks that here, Tom.
Is that the equivalent of Budweiser in America?
Yeah, they got a lot of money and a lot of money behind them, and they push it as, you know, they push that that sort of Heineken type thing. Yeah, but no, it's not popular here. So I'll give you something better than that.
Yeah, Budweiser's swill, as far as I'm concerned. It's just a mass, beautiful mass.
Yeah, genetically modified rice and stuff as well.
Really?
Yes.
Hey, well, say hi to Garth for me, will you, please? And I'd like to say thanks again for having me on. And thanks to everybody out there listening. I hope you didn't take umbrage at everything I said.
Hey, we're just a couple of blokes with our opinions, Tom. We're getting up there and just talking. That's what we want people to do, you know? Not everyone's going to always agree, you know?
As long as you're out there, man, I'll just keep talking.
I hope that people can still get the book Hellstorm as well. They can still order that from you?
Oh, yeah.
Signed copy and Amazon ebook?
Yeah, Amazon sells it and I sell it.
Yeah.
And,
I hope people can read it, you know?
Yeah, many people have told me it's a life-changing book. People have said things like this, and they've said it consistently. They say that there's me before Hellstorm, then there's me after Hellstorm. I don't see the world the way I once did. And even though it's a horrifying thing,
you
suddenly face the reality, it's still the truth, and you want the truth. You want to embrace the truth, even though it kills you. At least I do as a historian. But again, I want to tell you, Adam, it's a big deal being with you because I am just absolutely right at home with you. You and Garth and you, and it's, you know, this isn't work. It's just that I'm a little tired more than normal tonight. I told you why, I think, because I just haven't gotten any sleep. But so I just want to tell you again, thanks, buddy, for having me on. And I encourage everybody out there to keep listening to Adam. And if you got a few dollars, a few rubles, a few whatever in your pocket listening to this, you might pass it on and tell him how much you enjoy it, because he's doing a lot of good work. I'm going to tell you that. And what's better is he's a good guy.
I am.
He's on our side.
Of course. And your website as well, Tom. I'll put that link up today with this. And, of course, the Hellstorm film by Kyle Hunt. I'll put that up as well. But that's permanently on our website anyway. But you have a donate button as well for people to help you. Get your writing books is not cheap. I know that you are, you're a writer and you struggle and to get that information out. And so your site has that as well.
And I'm poor. How about that?
Yeah. So, it helps, $10, $5 here and there, make it a monthly thing, $5, $10 a month. Yeah.
But you're doing the greater service, in my opinion. You're airing to thousands and thousands of people. And, my blog reaches a couple hundred a day. I'm not sure what, I don't even follow that. But so I insist on you, if you've got some money in the spare money in your pockets, folks, Adam's right there. And he's.
I'll save it and buy Tom a beer when he comes to Australia.
That'll work for me.
Gee, strange. We couldn't get you to come to Australia and do some talks. In regards to selling the book, I always thought that would be good, Tom, sort of like, something like where you could do a presentation with a slideshow where you've got your laptop and you just got the little clicker and you talk about the book and show the images and then sell the books at the end. Something like that, would get people involved as well.
Any chance I go to prison in Australia?
No.
Yeah?
No.
Okay. Well.
Not yet anyway. But things are getting bad here. So
yeah, that's a plus. So we might have a series of talks if we can come over there and do something. Hey, but until then,
great.
You're always welcome here in Florida. So you got my address. If you don't, you'll get it. And I just want to say, hey, thank you, and thank you also to your family for giving us you as they do. And I know it's a mutual. My wife.
If you're trying to get me into bed, Tom, it might just work.
Yeah. Well, hey, Adam, again, thanks so much. I'll say adieu and good night to everybody else out there. Bye-bye.
Okay. We should be back soon or next week, whatever. And thanks, Thomas Goodridge. Isn't he a great guy? Just an all-round really nice man, and given us a lot of time here, so I hope people enjoyed that talk about what's going on in the world today. I put Tom's website link up accompanying this podcast today, and also Hellstorm, Kyle Hunt's documentary, is permanently pasted on our website. You can't miss it if you want to check that out as well. So thanks very much for listening, and thank you, Thomas Goodridge. You're the man.